Thanks, Tracy. Thank you to many of you as well for helping me ramp up this past year, especially John McClellan, who whose insights, his help, his motivation has kept me balanced and enthused along the way. I'll try to hit on a few of the important aspects of the relationship and how I met the candidate. Talk about some the key points on the assessment and the business model, and where things ended up and where they are now. And if anybody has any questions, absolutely ask them, and I'll do my best to answer. How I met this client, his name is Paul Groshko. I had begun attending ExecuNet meetings as part of the whole networking thing shortly after I started with John. And the coach who led ExecuNet, I hit it off with. She's a life coach, a career coach, and she's been leading two ExecuNet meetings a month, one in the city and one in the western suburbs, for about 5 years. We seem to hit it off, and I've been attending the executive meetings ever since, and we kind of partner up now. She introduced me to Paul, I believe he might have been a client of hers. I talked with him, and she introduced us, and we met for coffee at a Panera for an introduction. Introductory meeting, and then he went off and he did his assessment, and we met again after that. When we met on the assessment, we reviewed it together, and we built the business model at the same time when we met at Panera. At the time, I had a few concepts prepared in the event it seemed obviously correct to present them, but I'll get to that in just a few minutes. If you've got the assessment, as I go through it, there were four or five key points that seemed interesting to me, and I kind of looked at probably first. Obviously was his demographics in terms of his 55. Successful guy, as I later found out, and he was renting his home in the Chicago area. He had been renting it for 5 years. That to me raised a question about what was going on in his life. My experience has been at that age, usually if someone is established and they're steady, they're in a home, that could be wrong, but that was what I was thinking. But he was renting, and to me it represented he was in a period of transition, or if he was renting, perhaps he had some money to invest in a concept. But in any event, he was unemployed. He had resigned from Starbucks a few months before. I'll come back and we'll talk about his situation. But he had a successful 30-year career in retail. He had been with Safeway stores, operations leadership in the Northeast. He had been very successful at Starbucks, both in the United States, but he also ran some international markets for them. I believe it was Asia, Japan. And when he came back to the U.S. after having transferred back to the U.S., he was put in a role where everybody was watching him, and he didn't have the latitude of doing the things that he had in Japan, and that bothered him, and I think that led to his departure. He really was looking for something that he could own, that he could grow, and that it was his. But as I got to know him, I found that it wasn't so much the mechanics of the execution of the position or execution of the job and the responsibilities. This guy was really interested in developing people and teamwork and helping facilitate a tight operation. So we talked a little bit about his experience, what he liked, what he didn't like, and there was a point midway through when we talked about how will you know when you found the right business. He started talking about his family, and that to me was another insight. He had three kids. He's married. His wife is an accountant, and it turned pretty quickly into the fact that potentially this would be a family business. Two of his kids had graduated from college. He also has a 14-year-old daughter, and while it would be some time before she would be in position to enter the business, he kind of had his sights set on where he wanted to be longer term down the road, and that was the family legacy. And that tied into his thinking when choosing a business, what would be most important. He was looking for a well-respected company. He was looking for culture. That was very important to him, that met with his values. He wanted to grow. He wanted to add stores. He wanted to add units. He wanted a business that was known in the marketplace. However, it was known from the standpoint of it had competitors. In his view, if it had competitors, that means it had the potential to succeed if everything else was correct. He wanted something that differentiated itself from the competitors to help him succeed in the marketplace. He wasn't limited to Chicago, although that's where he ended up. But he had previously worked and lived in Washington, D.C., and he had family in Texas. So that was just a little bit about his background that we discussed when we met to create his business model. We went a little deeper. We talked about the times in business that made him the happiest. It was always surrounding team development and helping people succeed. I didn't say, I should have said, that in his style, he was an achiever societal. He wanted to make a difference, and that was apparent throughout our conversations. He was successful in business, but his whole wanting to make a difference and contribute had to do with the staff that he worked with, the people that he developed, and ultimately customers and the people who he did business with. Interestingly, when we looked at the wild cards in his values and motives, and I didn't know enough to do any different at that point. I was so new. I flat out asked him, "What are these italicized words in the wild card area in values, and what do these words mean to you?" They were challenge and team and dependability. And I don't think I ever got an answer on the dependability side of it, but the challenge and the team were very clear. This is a guy who didn't necessarily want to take an easy path. He loved the game. He loved the challenge of business. And he loved the notion of taking something, whether it was an established business or something in its infancy, and making it successful. That made him proud. And then the team was all about development. That was his societal perspective on making a contribution and giving back and helping. He was all about team, and whether it was his family and helping his family grow, helping his family develop, or the community. He had been involved in some charities and community activities, or in his work in Japan with Starbucks. It was all about team development. And that tied right into where he thought his strengths were based on his experiences. He was a smart businessman, but he was one, like myself, I believe, you know, an optimist. He always saw the glass half full, and he always saw hope and potential. He He's a big believer in team building, brand building, which we'll come back and talk about here in a minute, because that was very insightful. Employee development, coaching, retention, and customer service. He was clear. He wanted to be involved as an owner-operator. His longer-term opportunity was going to be as an owner-operator. He really didn't look at a semi-absentee opportunity or a time when he would be getting out of the business. He's 55 years old, so he still possessed a lot of gas in his tank to move forward and be successful and build something for his family. We went into the ideal business, and while it was insightful, it wasn't necessarily at all where he ended up. He didn't care about a recognized franchise brand. He didn't feel like a maturity of the brand was critical. It's not like he did a Midas or a Meineke or a brand like Starbucks with a very established name. Part of that was the game. Part of that was the ability to turn a name that isn't well known into a successful brand. Let's see, what else did he say here? He, because of his team development skills, he loved the notion of having multiple employees. So, you know, 10 plus employees was what he was thinking and what he was looking forward to. He didn't care about a product versus a service, although he listed a product because that's what he knew. That's what his background was in, Safeway and with Starbucks. And he obviously had money to invest, and he was ready to make a decision with his family. We looked at his financials, and, you know, I saw that the net worth right away was directionally going to afford more than one and perhaps many units or service opportunities, and the money he could get to. He had a significant amount of money, $300,000 in his a retirement fund at Safeway, but he had a pretty significant amount of money in cash and savings and stocks, and he didn't have a mortgage, as mentioned earlier on. He had liquidity, and he ultimately did transfer to a 401k rollover for a bit of money, but the rest of it came through cash. Achiever societal. Like I said, he wanted to make a difference, that's really some, you know, background information on the PFA. He was a promoter in terms of work style. He was a real outgoing, not a gregarious, egocentric guy. Actually, he was the opposite. He was really a kind of a down to earth, personal guy, but I think some of the notes in the PFA about what appealed to him in terms of communication styles and some of the businesses best suited ultimately were insightful and helpful for me. Talking about businesses best suited, at least through the PFA, it was pretty accurate. He was looking for something classy, unique, or different. He wanted that management experience, management ownership. Didn't have to be business to business. He wanted to control and dominate the marketplace. That was important to him. Long-term opportunity was important. Like I said earlier, he didn't mind competition. And that pretty much sums up the PFA. We took that information, and I had a few concepts that I had prepared with based on the PFA and having a conversation with him prior.
But one of the
and those concepts included what are listed on the business model that you may have. I presented Menchie's, I presented Back to Rock, presented Focal Point Coaching, and I've presented Spavia. And they all, for different reasons, he understood why I presented them, and he was interested to an extent. Menchie's, he wasn't so excited about, although he liked the experience around the brand. He loved the community activities, the community nature of the brand, but he wasn't sold on frozen desserts. Back to Rock, he was very interested in the education-based aspect. And Focal Point, he was interested because of his leadership skills and his articulate way of presenting and the experience that he had, thought could be useful in a business like Focal Point. Then we talked about Spavia, and we had just come off the recent introduction of Spavia on a launch call with Todd Kirby, and there were a couple of things that he said that resonated with me in that launch call that I pretty much parroted back to Paul, and it had to do with Starbucks and his Starbucks experience. And when I presented Spavia to him, we talked about some of the rational benefits of Spavia, but I presented it the same way Todd did, and that was you've got your massage envies out there, the market, you know, market's probably the market leader, and you have the elements out there, and but then you've got this thing, which is a high-end resort type spa, and you know, close your eyes for a minute and imagine yourself at the kind of spa, the kind of resort that you and your wife might go to in Mexico or in the Caribbean, and it's you know, let's just say the Four Seasons. And he was nodding; he could relate to that. And the fact that it's a high end, you know, you want to use the spa services, your spouse wants to use them. It's definitely a high end experience, and it's all about the experience. It's not just the massage itself. It's the robes, it's the music, it's the aromatherapy, it's the way you're treated. It's all of those little add-ons and added value. But most importantly, it's that overall experience that ties into the resort concept. And it's all high-end. And it's very similar to your experience, I believe, Paul, with Starbucks that you've had. And I started to relate some of my old ad agency experience about the value of the brand and what makes up the brand. And it's not just the coffee that could be a commodity product among other coffee stores. It's not just the coffee. It's that experience you get around Starbucks when you go in to visit. It's the brand experience. And that's similar to what Spot, this concept, is intending for the customer. It's high-end, and it's all experiential. And he started it resonated with him because of his Starbucks experience. And you could see that all of a sudden it began to spark some interest. And the more he learned about it, the more interested he got. When he got to understand sort of the membership model about it, his eyes lit up more. When he learned about some of the reoccurring revenue opportunities, not only through the membership model, but through alternative revenue streams, products for sale, etc., he really got excited. And we connected with Todd Kirby, and they took it from there. I did obviously stay in touch with him every week, every step of the way, and I'll come back to that because we're still talking after the franchise sale. He went to Discovery Day. He actually, I believe, Spavia had a store open, a location open in Texas outside of the Colorado market. And I think Paul even went down to Texas with his wife to take a look at that, just as part of his due diligence. And not only was he impressed with the concept, but the founders of Spavia, the guy and his wife who lead it, were very, very impressive. And Paul came back from his Discovery Day experience just as excited as he could be. He and his wife were very impressed with every aspect of it. And he felt that the founders of Spavia not only were credible based on the track record and experience they had had in business, but also the analytical approach that they took to the business. And coming out of Safeway and coming out of Starbucks, this was a guy who understood the importance of not only the financials, but all the analytical work that took to get to this point in deciding that here's a concept that could be successful. So they talked. Paul continued to talk with them, did his due diligence. He was offered a franchise, and he ended up purchasing a six-pack in the North Shore of Chicago and all the way down to the Lincoln Park City area. As far as I know, this is the first Spavia sale in this market, and he liked that idea that he could be the first in the marketplace. We have continued to talk, even though his first location isn't scheduled to open until Mother's Day, I believe. We continue to talk weekly or every other week. And we've talked about a number of things, recommendations on contacts for franchise attorneys, for architects, for subcontractors. I mean, the list goes on. But what I've found great about this experience is the fact that it will continue. He suggested that this is one piece of what he would like to build for his family in an overall health and wellness umbrella company. So he sees other opportunities extending beyond Spavia, perhaps other franchises, all under this overarching wellness, health and wellness area. He's gotten so excited about things over the last few months that his last call last week was specific to is there any does anyone have any leads? And I will ask this to the group, and if you do have any information or suggestions, please shoot me an email after. But he's looking for some investors now because he wants to speed up his development. He'd like to get three of these Spavias open by this time next year. And to do that, he'd like to get some investor money. And he thinks he needs $2 million, but that's another story. He's excited and eager, and he is progressing nicely. Having said all that, I guess there were a couple of learnings for me, three learnings. Don't minimize or assume anything. And the reason I say that is when I started going to this executive group early on, I wasn't sure what my role could be except perhaps generating some leads among the group for people who were in transition. Turns out the executive leader had a pre-existing relationship with a successful guy at Fran Choice, but she provided a great lead that really turned into something. It could turn into something long-term. Paul has also referred to a former Starbucks employee. He worked co-worker. So there may be an opportunity there. So it obviously was worthwhile to be part of ExecNet. I'm trying very, very hard to stay close to that group. But it taught me not to assume that there is a smart way to go with networking, or there are networking groups that perhaps aren't worthwhile. Networking is important, and to that end, I'm trying to get more involved with SCORE and SBDC and libraries and such. It's an opportunity. Number two, another learning was listen and watch for hints. I really got some positive body language from him when I heard him talk about Starbucks, his family, the brand experience, and what it meant. And those were all insights that helped me understand ways in which to position Spavia. And the third one is obviously keep the communication open past just the franchise signing. He's already talking about expediting his growth and getting involved in other things. And we want to go slow and steady, but I do want to stay connected to him and for the future. That is my story, and appreciate the opportunity to tell whoever is interested. And if I can answer any questions, I'd be more than happy to.
Any questions for Brad?
Hey, Brad, this is Sarah. I'm in a busy area, so I'm going to ask my question and then go back on mute. First of all, I'm going to say I think you rule, so good for you. You talked a little bit about his profile, but how did the societal come into it, if at all?
How did the societal come into what?
Isn't he an achiever societal? And
yes.
How did it come up in the conversation? Like, was it more doing well by doing, good? Did he have a green orientation? If that came up at all.
Yeah, no, it did. It came up. I mean, when we talked about those results, and I said, you're an achiever societal. He had read the review, and he laughed. The societal thing was very important. It was important in the way that he developed people. He felt a good percentage of his role at Starbucks and Safeway was not doing his job, but his job being to develop people and give back some of the things that some of the success and some of the experiences he's had. So it was all about giving back in a way that helped develop his team around him and also his family.
Yeah, and I think that came across in how he answered some of the questions too. It was all about other people. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah. If anybody has any suggestions too on something you might have considered or suggested, I'm like I said, we're still learning, and I'd love to hear it.
Hey, Brad, one other question. Did he focal point? I was surprised by that because he had sort of indicated, that retail was his preferred thing, and that's obviously plays to his experience, but. He also indicated that he did not enjoy cold calling by answering no to that, question.
Yeah.
Was that the reason why he ruled that out?
Ruled what out?
Focal point coaching.
I think so. I think the bigger reason on focal point was that, it didn't really carry that brand personality. It wasn't so much about the experience as much as a Starbucks or a Spavia would be, and the cold calling likely tied into it as well.
Well, and it didn't have the coaching aspect, I would imagine, that he wanted.
Right. Right.
Any other questions for Brad today?
Well, if not, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much, Brad, for sharing your time.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing it, Brad.
See you later. Have a good weekend. Happy Valentine's Day.
You too.
Brad, thank you.
Thank you.